So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Your host hasn't seen everything in sports, but sometimes he acts like it, and his guests probably have. Now, the host of Scorecard Scribblings, your sports guy, Brent Weber.
Hey, everybody, I'll be with you in just a second. You know, I'm doing that. I'm tweeting, but I'm not, no politics. This is a no political zone. There will be no yelling, screaming, or tissues being handed out, and none of that going to happen tonight. We're talking a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We're live in studio. Second half hour from the recruiting trail, which I think will be interesting. We're going to talk to Todd Franklin, who's the head coach at Simpson University, longtime North State Shasta coach, a legendary high school basketball coach, is now trying to put Simpson higher and higher on the NAIA map, which is not easy to do. And we'll talk a little bit about his recruiting, his team that he has this year, which is quite an international flavor to him. And that'll be coming up at 6:30. He's in Vegas doing some recruiting after being on the road the last couple of days. So the whirlwind glory life of and I'm being sarcastic. It's tough being a coach and having a family this time of year. We'll talk to Todd Franklin at the bottom half of this hour. We're also going to recue a little bit of that interview with Bill Plummer, the Shasta County Sports Hall of Famer, former member of the Big Red Machine. We'll be hearing some of that here in this first half hour before we get to more. But we're also going to take a look at some of what's going on in sports in the area. And then Northern California here, I got to send this tweet out real quick. Kerr, Mad Bum. Yeah, we're going to hear from Steve Kerr. We're going to listen to a little of Mad Bum from his press conference. And what else should I put on the tweet? Oh, yeah, and Todd Franklin of Simpson. I should have tweeted this a long time ago, huh? Oh, well. I'm not very good at this, apparently. All right, well, there we go. All right, so I guess I'm ready to play now. Just kidding, folks. Thanks for tuning in, and appreciate you being with us tonight. I wanted to talk a little bit out of the gate about baseball because we've been talking about it, free agency stuff. I don't like to get too – I always joke with my dad. I say, you know, when somebody signs a new contract for $15, $16, $17, $18 million, and those are the ones that happen first. The guy that's going to sign like a one-year – invite to spring training, that doesn't make headlines now, but I like to say, you know, get up in the morning and you find out yesterday that Madison Bumgarner, age 30, beloved San Francisco Giant, good old country boy, everybody loves Mad Bum, and he's a competitor and the kind of guy you want on your team. Anyway, he went out, pursued free agency, and he signed with a team. He got 5 years and an $85 million contract. Now, big picture, he turned down – this is going to make my producer Jared further scratch his beard. He turned down more money. He was offered more money from other teams. I have not gotten the word and talked to any of my guys to find out. It doesn't matter. You can probably guess who a few of them are. The Braves probably in the initial phases probably said he wanted to go to the Arizona Diamondbacks because he's a comfort guy. He's a southern guy, but he spent all of his spring training – years because he was with San Francisco. So they train in Scottsdale. You know that. And so he and his family have a second home. He's a country boy, likes to ride his motorcycles. Well, we kind of know that. His dirt bike, I think, he hurt himself on a few years ago. But anyway, apparently right away, right out of the gate, they let Arizona know, hey, we're interested in you. You know, don't try to screw us, but you make us the best deal you can. And I think at that, I don't know if anybody really had a chance of getting him as long as Arizona was close. Anyway, my dad and I joke every morning. I go, I guess we don't have to worry about Mad Bum, living out of his car. because none of us can really, you know, I don't even think these guys can relate to the money they're getting. You know, they know that their careers are short. They worked hard. They got lucky and they, you know, worked hard and a combination of all those things. And they wind up there in that rarefied air, and you can't blame them for taking, you know, making the most out of those years they have it. But still, most of the guys that I know that have those, they're just like, they just keep, it allows them to keep being kids in a way, because they're just, you know, but they earned, they, in their sense, they earned it. Anyway, so he signs a 5-year, $85 million deal. I know it hurts to Giants fans because he's going to be in your division. Dodgers fans wanted him. That would have killed the Giants. And so at least he didn't go to the Dodgers, right, Giants fans? And Dodgers, hey, you know, oh, well, bummer, he's going to the Diamondbacks. But I think L.A. wouldn't have been his style. I think that would have been like when Jeff Kent was with the Dodgers or, you know, even though Kershaw is a, you know, a Texan, he still likes the Hollywood stuff. But Matt Bum, he doesn't like that. Anyway, let's listen to a little bit of the press conference with Madison Bumgarner, excuse me, newly signed with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
The direction this team's going, the group of guys that I've seen from the other side for so many years, the team that these guys have put together was something that I wanted to be a part of. First and foremost, winning is you know, that's what the whole decision is based on. And being with a team that is gonna, you know, in my mind, you know, is my brand of baseball, plays the way that I like to play. And you know, I'm gonna say does it the right way. Maybe somebody else has a different opinion on that, but that's how I feel about it. But I do love the Phoenix area. It's like a second home to me. You know, I kind of stayed out of it for the most part, and you know, on the phone more than I typically would like to be. But, you know, it was exciting. You know, there's a lot going on, and like I said, I'm thankful to be here and thankful to be a Diamondback. They're definitely heading in a really good direction, and they just play hard, you know. And I would say they got a bunch of grinders on this team, guys that don't take, you know, any pitch off, and they're just a hard-nosed group of guys.
That's Madison Bumgarner, Arizona Diamondback. It hurts a little bit. You got no boats, you got no diamond, you got no. So Buster Posey and those guys are going to have to really step up. If you're a Giants fan, you know the young kids are going to get a shot to join Andrew Bailey's pitching staff. Samardzija and Cueto trying to come back from injuries. I got to tell you, folks, I love both those pitchers, but you're asking a lot to anchor your staff with two guys coming off injuries like those guys. Still out there as free agents, quite a few guys. Ryu, Keuchel, neither one of those are going to wind up in San Francisco. They'll both get good money. I've not understood why it takes Keuchel so long to get signed. It may be a Scott Boras thing, who knows. Third baseman outfielder, I guess he's an outfielder now, Castellanos. Finished last year with the Cubs. Now, the Giants have gotten into those they're trying to get guys back in the fold midseason. One of them, James Loney, who just rejoined them, started Steve Kerr talking about his team, started right there with how difficult it is for even a veteran to work his way back into the lineup. Let's hear from Steve. I might have just...
difficult, you know. Loon, the end of last year, was our best center. And, you know, one of our... I referred to him as a foundational piece, and you know, so for, you know, for him to come back and then deal with his own health issues and then come back and not have any of the pieces around him that he was used to last year, it's very, very different. So, but this has been a difficult season for everybody, you know. So we all have to you know, fight our own individual battles, whatever those circumstances entail, and then we have to do it in the context of the group, you know, and try to help the team win. It's not easy. I think the toughest thing is just, you know, not seeing the results that I think, that I believe are coming. But I keep saying, you know, believe it, believe it, believe it, and so far it hasn't come. So it's frustrating, but I'm going to keep keep preaching what I'm seeing, which is when we're focused and we play with a purpose and we play together, we can be a pretty good team. But we don't have a large margin for error like the team the last 5 years did, where, you know, we might play 4 or 5 minutes of poor basketball and then Steph or Clay hit 6 straight threes and we have the lead again. We don't have that margin for error. So we've got to be more solid for a larger chunk of the game. And that's a big part of what we're preaching. And if we do that, I'm confident we can start winning games. And when you start winning games, your message is a little easier to give.
That is Steve Kerr, of course. I'm that kind of guy. I'm a positive kind of guy. No, they're not going to make a run at the title this year, Warriors fans. But will they get markedly better? Yes. Of course, I was talking about Kevin Looney, former UCLA player who's turned out to be a really nice NBA player. He's pretty smart out there. But they need some of these guys, Glenn Robinson III, Marquise Chris, and some of these others to really take steps forward to become that much better. A guy like D'Angelo Russell that everybody loves his talent. Anyway, they're on the court tonight in Portland at 7 o'clock. Kings are off for a couple of days. They are home again this weekend. I can't remember who they played, but they had an East Coast turnaround, so they're just getting back. Hey, we want to finish this half hour here, a little bit of a real fun visit last week that we had with Bill Plummer. Bill was a member of the Cincinnati Reds' Big Red Machine. Of course, he went to Anderson High School, Shasta College. Then as a young kid, got signed into the professional baseball ranks, and before he knew it, he was with the Chicago Cubs and eventually wound up, of course, Johnny Bench's backup and a longtime major leaguer and half a century or more in baseball professionally. And so anyway, we got a chance to sit down with the Shasta County Sports Hall of Famer. And a little bit later on, we're going to hear from Todd Franklin, head coach of Simpson University men's basketball team. But right now, let's recue a little bit of that with Bill Plummer. Bill Plummer joins us tonight. Thanks for stepping in and taking some cuts with me tonight.
Hi, welcome, Brad. Anytime.
Now, I want to start by reading this to you. So folks who... Some things about the game of baseball are completely different, obviously. Technology's changed things, including scouting. But at the end of the day, people still have to look at guys, make a determination. You still have to do the old eye test. So I found this at baseballhall.org, and it's from 1967. Modesto, scout Eddie Bachman, and he writes... A catcher, bats right, throws right, 20 years old, 6'2", 200. Arm, good. Fields, average plus. Hits, average. Power, average. Runs, average minus. Base running, average minus. They're just saying you run like a catcher. Hustle, good plus. But here's what he said about this kid, this 20-year-old plumber. Just starting to put things together, catching and throwing have improved 100% in the past year. Hitting improved over the past month of the season. This boy is all baseball, all the desire and hustle in the world, pretty good knowledge of things, strong, can catch every day, doesn't get hurt, recommend a draft on him if available. You probably didn't see that until you were a grown-up, out of the game, because they never used to let you see
Sometimes
that.
Sometimes you never see him in the scout. I knew that, the reason I know that when something happened that year, because I was Rule 5 by the Cubs, and I spent a year with Chicago the next year.
That's
after playing in the Cal League. So, but it wasn't Eddie Bachman. I don't know if it was Eddie Bachman then or not. I thought he was with the Phillies. Eddie Bachman was with the Phillies for a lot of years.
That's just what's written on there. Written on there. It's cool to be able to pull, Hall of Fame website. Man, you can pull up some pretty cool stuff. That's cool that I found that,
No, that is, I've never seen that, so that's pretty neat. Scouts, you never really, once you sign this stuff, you kind of never, they were there, but you were worried about every day how to go out and play the game and, try to win a ball game, so you play every day. So it was a lot of fun, and I've always enjoyed sport. I played for Sparky that year, too, in 1967, so it was a lot of fun. We had a good club, and we won, we were in the playoffs and ended up losing the playoffs, but, a lot of fun.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit more to Bill Plummer in just a second. Take a quick break. Back with more of that Bill Plummer interview and Todd Franklin at the bottom of the hour from Simpson. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings.
Mm-hmm. Celebrating 20 years in business is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
A Cascade favorite holiday tradition, Thomasine's A Celtic Christmas, returns to the Cascade Theater on Saturday, December 21st, filled with Celtic singing, music, dancing, and stories. It's a night of joy, laughter, and the giving spirit of the season that is great for the whole family. Get tickets today at cascadetheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hey, welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber. In just a few minutes from Las Vegas, Nevada, that is the recruiting trail where Todd Franklin is. We'll be checking in with the coach of Simpson University, associate athletic director, longtime Shasta County basketball force, and we'll learn what it's like for him right about now. This is actually a kind of a big day in college sports, but I don't really get too involved in it because I think it's great when you got your local kids doing stuff with the whole national signing day thing with college recruiting for football. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. They're college players, and it's just sportscasters and sports writers, I think, just using those people to get – they're not doing it to get the kids publicity to help them out, but they're doing it for themselves. Anyway, with that said, we've been listening to a little bit of that interview from last week with Bill Plummer. Let's get back to that, and then we'll catch up with Todd Franklin in just a few minutes. But Bill Plummer, former Simpson member of the Shasta County Sports Hall of Fame, let's pick that interview back up. And for those who don't know, and most baseball folks who know what the Rule 5 thing is, essentially you're cherry-picked off of another team's 40-man, right? And then
no, basically what it is, if they don't protect you, if you're, you know, like after 3 years, you're you can be, they have to protect you by the, where they put you on a roster. If it's an A ball, double A, triple A. So if I was on a, say, just for example, if, they were going to draft me major league, I would have been on a triple A roster, which I was, and that's why they drafted me major league. If you're on a double A roster, the other team would have had to draft you and put you on a triple A roster. So.
And what they have to do is keep you, or else used to be able, they would maybe try to work out a trade with the other team.
Right.
If they
well, what
to.
Happens is if they paid $25,000. I think it's $50,000 now or more. But I mean, in those days, 67, they paid $25,000 to draft me. And then if they tried to send me out, and the club that who was the Cardinals would have the first choice to take me back for $12,500. So, but I stayed the whole year, so I was protected. And then I was in the Cubs, and then I got traded the next winter anyway. So it didn't really matter. I went to Cincinnati the next season. In 68, January 68,
so
69,
got,
I mean.
How do you go a whole season and only get two at-bats? That must have made you crazy.
Yeah, well, it's pretty tough. They were playing for it. In those days, we played for Leo DeRocher, and, you know, that club had, let's see, Ernie Banks at first, Glenn Becker at second, Kessinger at short, Ron Santo at third, Randy Hundley catching. They had Dolfo Phillips, Billy Williams, Jim Hickman, really great club, and that was before the divisions. And they were in it all the way to the end. So they finished, you know, like third, I think, overall. So
yeah,
basically, he didn't really use me in situations because he wanted to win ball games. I understand. So, you know, now I did as a manager. Then I didn't. I'm a little frustrated.
Well, didn't Hundley catch 160 games that year?
I was 21 years old.
I think Hundley caught 160 games, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, he's played a lot. He was an Iron Man. So.
Well, then you wind up, we all know that... 69. Then you and a couple other guys, I guess, got traded for Ted Abernathy. That was a big deal for the Cubs. They're getting you know, a reliable arm in Abernathy. And little did you know, they had you groomed for a backup role that would last a long time in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I was pretty fortunate. I remember watching John play. He was only 20 years old in 68, and he was rookie of the year. And I said, boy, that's the only place I don't want to go. And I was there the next spring. So, John, good timing.
did you see the Johnny Bench documentary that was on?
Most of it, yeah. I watched most of it, yeah. I thought it was really good, yeah. I really like John. He always treated me really well.
Terrific. Hey, well, I want to talk a little bit. I mean, I love to get you telling me stories, but I want to get your feel on a couple of guys. We have the Hall of Fame, and I like the revisiting of players. Ted Simmons gets in as a player, and I think the argument was made. You know, that's a guy. I mean, his career started when you were still playing, and a switch hitting catcher. That could rake. He was such a good player, yet because he didn't get enough votes that first time, he was done. And I think that this new Veterans Committee stuff that they're doing, or they've got a fancy name for it. What is your thought on Simba, Ted Simmons?
No, I knew Teddy too. I mean, I think he signed maybe 3 years after I did 1968 or somewhere in there. But he's one of the best hitting catchers you know, that I've seen on a consistent basis. He had over 300 a lot of years and. Played every day, Ironman, and played hard, and good team leader. You love to watch him play. He, you know, he was out there every inning.
Wasn't he a switch hitter?
Yes, he was. That's why I say he's one of the best switch hitters I've seen, you know, as a catcher, you know, especially for, you know, average, too, both sides. You know, I mean, he didn't hit as much power, maybe 12, 14 home runs. I don't know the most runs yet, but a lot of doubles, good hitter, 12 in runs. So, you know, well, really good player.
I kind of like...
Well-deserving of the Hall of Fame.
I was going to say, I like that those guys get revisited, and, you know, it seems fair. And there's
that's,
probably
I'm
going to
talk over myself a little bit there. That is an interview with Coach Bill Plummer. Of course, got to know him with the Colt 45s. He's been helping out with those players. If you'd like to hear that whole interview, we archive our interviews on KCNR1460.com. Let's go to the archives, click down, roll down, look for my pretty face, scorecard scribblings, pick the date of the show. That would be last Wednesday's show, and you can click on it. You can also go to me on Facebook, scorecard scribblings, and I'll usually try to put links and so on there. So you can hear that whole interview with Bill Plummer. What a great guy, and good to visit with him this time of year. Now, when we come back, we're going to go to Vegas and check in with Todd Franklin, Simpson University head men's basketball coach, who is there on the recruiting trail. That's coming up next. You're listening to Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber.
This is Shelley at Tobacco and Brew. Our Tobacco and Brew family would like to wish our local veterans and active duty service members a very happy holiday season. We have had the opportunity to meet many of you in person, and we appreciate the sacrifice that you have made and continue to make to safeguard our generations to come. Tobacco and Brew also wants to give a special thank you to the families and friends of our active duty service members as they are deployed away from home defending us. Happy holidays from Tobacco and Brew.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Auto Body. It's been a really devastating year for some of us here in the North State. From the fires in 2018 to Snowmageddon in 2019 and the unprecedented hailstorm, our family and team at Coach Master wish the best for all of you affected by these disasters. We hope that Coach Master was able to ease the stress for our customers that were affected by these events. With the coming of the holiday season, we would like to thank all of our customers, old and new, for trusting Coachmaster to take care of all of your collision repair needs. Our team would like to wish the community Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And Santa, we don't repair sleighs, so be careful. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hey, welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. I'm your host, Brent Weber. Always having a little fun with the music. I think that's, is that, I can't remember who was that?
It was Tom Waits.
Oh, that was Tom Waits. All right. So, I don't know, we should maybe have a little show tune or something coming back because on the road recruiting, it's so glamorous. Todd Franklin joins us now, head men's basketball coach and assistant director of athletics at Simpson University. And, there is, very little time at home this time of year for a college basketball coach, Todd.
It's fun. It's draining sometimes, but the life on the road is you get to meet some great people and you get to see a lot of wonderful kids. And of course, I always check in with my kids at home. They're actually listening right now. So hi to Trey, Kai, and McKenna, sitting there listening to the radio just like we used to when we were kids.
I love it. I love it. Well, you one thing in the recruiting when you go to introduce young men to Simpson University. You don't have to, and I'm just saying this out of a positive statement about your coaching career, you don't have to tell them that you're going to be around. You stayed in Reading for the most part. You came back. You coached at Liberty Christian for more than two decades. I know you had chances to go other places. When you wound up going over to Simpson University, you've not immediately, I know that's unfair. You guys work hard, takes a couple of years, but you have a 17-12 record last year. You've got a 6-4 season this year. But this is home, and nobody's a better ambassador, I think, when you get out there to Shasta County and Reading.
Well, I appreciate that. I love Reading. I love everything about it. Like any town, we have our issues, we have our problems, and we're always going to have them. There's going to be new ones arise, but there's great people in this town, and no matter what comes up, I believe that we can conquer it, and it's where I want my children's children to be raised, so I'm perfectly content being right here.
Now, you had a tough little road trip. I mean, you went up to Southern Oregon, lost a 77-63 game there, and you follow that up against New Hope Christian, but you did get back on the winning track on that one. Didn't get a whole lot of info on it, so how did that game turn out?
It went good. You know, we had to get on the road a little bit this time of year to go get some games in. We played number 18th ranked team in our division. In the country of Southern Oregon, we were actually up at halftime, ran out a little gas. They did show why they're the 18th ranked team. They had a great second half. We ended up losing by 13, I believe. And then last night, the kids stepped back up, and we're up at 15 and continue to play well, move the ball. We're starting to get some guys to really buy into the defensive end. Even against Southern Oregon, we only gave up 23 points in the first half. So we're really proud of the progress. You know, sometimes you want to always have a winning record, but my pops used to tell me sometimes you're for a walk, you need to turn around and look where you've been. And that's kind of what we're doing right now at this point of the season, say where have we been and where are we going.
Well, and you've, you know, one of the challenges, and I'm sure it's one of the joys of the challenge at NAIA, especially a program like yours, you're bringing together a group of young men who, hey, they're not from the same place. You're able to get international players, and then you've got kids coming up here that getting them to gel is three quarters of the battle, I think. As I watched you go, pretty, you know, you got everybody some playing time. The game I came out and saw you guys last a week or half ago, so ago, but you still got to get into a rotation and see who fits well with who, right?
It is, and that's, you know, as a coach, anytime you try to get as many kids to come to your university as you can, and I think halfway through the year you evaluate where those kids are and are they progressing and who plays well together. We've got some kids coming off the bench that could very easily be starters, but they bring great energy. Christian Alvarez is one of those kids, left-handed point guard, could start at a lot of schools, has really bought in to bringing energy off the bench. So anytime you own a business or coach a team, if you can get people to buy into their role, you're that much better, and we've got some great role players right now.
And you can speak to more guys, but I know, and then every now and then you wind up getting a kid from somewhere like Hiram, Georgia, like Nathan Presnell, who I saw banging it up pretty good for you out there.
Yeah, Nathan's a really good player. You know, we were actually very fortunate to get Nathan. He was actually a Division I quarterback, and at 6'9", you see his body. You can understand why a lot of Division I schools were after him. He decided late in the senior year that he wanted to stick to basketball. Unfortunately, I was recruiting a guard out of Georgia, and the coach told me about this kid named Nate. And 24 hours later, I was in his house and met with the family, and they really like what Simpson's trying to do and take care of their son. And that's one of our biggest things is we are an extension of the family. So meeting and connecting and understanding the family values as they have them, we want to continue those. So we're very fortunate to have Nate with us.
And when I alluded to it a moment ago, but let's expand a little bit on the roster that you have. You have guys from Australia, but obviously California, Rickert Mertalieri, I don't know how to say his name. He went to Lassen College, but he's from Belgium, and I always just say it real fast. You have a Croatian player. You have a Slovakian player. You have a kid that's from Greece, and am I missing another country? Turkey, Nigeria.
We've got Turkey, England, the UK. So, absolutely. You know, it brings such a great culture to not only our team, but to our university, but also to Reading. You know, any time we're on a bus like we were the last 2 days, you're actually hearing world events from people who actually know. So you're not following a certain news media that might tell you what they want you to hear, but you're actually hearing what's going on. And anytime you're sitting and you've got someone from Turkey and someone from Greece, and those two countries haven't always got along, it's just it's fascinating to learn and hear the different cultures, and you really learn to adapt and love people and accept people for where they're at. And, you know, that's part of the huge part of being in any university is getting to know other people. Maybe that they don't think like you or dress like you or act like you, but you can learn from everyone, and it makes Reading such a much better place.
We're talking to Todd Franklin, the head men's basketball coach. It simply is one of the things that, to me, is most important about a, you know, an advanced education, whether you're able to get out of your town or you're able to simply go to a university, small or large, you're going to meet people who are different from you. And it's in this particular case, this is where sports can really bring people together, broaden a culture. Here, it's making you probably a more balanced person, even as a coach after all these years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they obviously all come to my home. And, you know, one thing I do when I recruit someone is I want to make sure they're high character coming into Simpson and also into Reading. And, you know, I always ask the parent and ask them, is this someone that I would let babysit my children? My kids are older, but still they're looking up to these players even more than what they look up to me right now. Cause you know, what they wear, how they talk, what they listen to, how they interact. So it goes so much farther beyond than just basketball. You know, when they walk in the room, are they removing their hood? Are they looking people in the eye? Are they shaking hands? Are they doing all those small things that would separate them from anyone else at any other program? And there's some great programs in our conference that echo the same stuff. So it's a lot of fun getting to know all the other programs and the coaches and the values they're trying to instill as well.
Todd, I want to take a quick break. Can you stick around for another few minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a quick break with Simpson University head men's basketball coach Todd Franklin. He's on the recruiting trail. I want to talk a little bit more about what that's like and talk some more NAIA college basketball. This is Scorecard Scribblings with yours truly, Brent Weber.
Season's greetings. I'm Chelsea Forseth, one of the owners of NorCal Rentals and Sales, NorCal Trailer Sales, and NorCal Tractor, your new local Kubota dealer. We would like to wish all our brave men and women who serve us daily in active military duties and their families warm holiday wishes and a happy new year. As we celebrate this season with family and friends, we'd like to take this time to remember freedom isn't free, and we invite you to join us this holiday season by thanking a veteran. Merry Christmas!
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Reading. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Redding.
Black Bear feels like home. One, two, three.
Welcome back to Scorecard Scribblings. I'm Brent Weber. Thanks for joining us tonight. Todd Franklin, Simpson University head men's basketball coach, the NAIA program on their Christmas break. And what is a head coach doing? He's on the recruiting trail, right, Coach?
Absolutely. You know, you're always recruiting no matter what time of year it is. And this year, there just happened to be a great time for me to – we were in Oregon the last 2 days, jump on a plane this morning at 4 a.m., come here. Been in the gym ever since. Get to watch the last game here at 9 p.m. and then back to the motel, back to the airport at 6 a.m. and heading back to Redding.
All right, you'll be home for the kids and everybody over the holidays. Now, tournament time. Actually, Vegas winds up being a nice spot for men's and women's basketball to recruit because they have some key high school and other tournaments that are there. Which one are you at now?
I'm at the UNLV at Arcanian Classic. A lot of prep schools, and then heading over to Bishop Gorman to watch some schools. And then later on tonight, I'm going to sneak over and watch the second half of Kentucky play Utah.
Yeah, you can sneak. You might pick up a thing or two. You know, basketball is basketball.
Absolutely.
Right, Coach? I always like to think of the when in Hoosier, when the coach brought him into the gym, and they measured everything, right? The
Absolutely.
Height of the goal, the free throw line, it's all the same, right?
Yeah, and it really goes both directions, from NBA but also down to elementary. I love watching coaches coach at the youngest level, because you have to be a great teacher. So every gym I'm in, I pick up a little nugget.
And, you know, when you're working, have you picked up any other languages? We were talking a little bit about your international flavor that you're getting now with your students. You picking up any other languages?
I understand some of the stuff they're saying, but I struggle enough with the English language that I have not tried to broaden my language base, but it's fun listening to those kids talk. And so many of those languages, they might not be from the same country, but they are similar enough that they can converse right away.
From a coaching standpoint, that's been a couple of years, and obviously you were close to the college game anyway, but the biggest difference, how have you grown as a coach since you moved over to Simpson and got out of the high school ranks?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? You don't know what you don't know, but you better learn pretty quick, I used to always say, and I have. You know, I wish I could go back some of the teams I've had in the past and do things a little differently. I think everyone in life would, like a redo. And knowing that, I've tried to learn as much as I can right now. But in high school, you're preparing differently. You've got a lot more time between games. And maybe you have to know about four or five really good players. In college, you've got to know the ninth guy off the bench, what his tendencies are. If they bring him in, does it change the rotation of everything else? So, and then the timeout differences with the media timeouts, 30 seconds turned into a minute. I mean, there's just a lot about the game that you don't really follow, even as a basketball junkie. All of a sudden, you sometimes wonder, why didn't this guy call a timeout? And he's waiting 18 seconds for it to go into the 14-minute mark so he can call a 30 and it becomes immediate, so you get a minute and a half. So
Right. There's
a lot of little strategic things that are different, but then just overall preparation. And everyone knows everything. We've got synergy, so I can watch every single play from every college game in America, so there's no surprises. So if you've got a great shooter, you've got to find a great way to get him open, continually changing things, and just doing the small things well.
I was going to say, that's got to make it maybe give you a little more time at home, a little less time crunching with the staff at work, because at NAI level, obviously you don't have the same coaching staff that a D1 staff's going to have. So there are a lot of trips you're taking that other schools, they have a recruiting coordinator might be taking, and so on. So you're able to see those games and see a lot of things, and that's got to really be helpful to you in this day and age to know as much as you can without it wearing you out too much.
It is. It's a plus and minus, but there's just something about the eye test. I've watched this young man I'm watching tonight again at 9 o'clock. I've seen him practice twice. I've seen him play in the game today, but just seeing how they interact, when you're in the environment, and where do they sit on the bench when they come out? Do they high five the guy coming in? Do they looking and listen to the coach during timeouts? Are they gazing to other places? Just all those little body language things that you can only pick up if you're actually in the gym watching them that you can't get on film. And then without the other staff, you've got to do it yourself, because at the end of the day, you know, we don't win. I'm the one who who's looking for another job. So, you know, you got to put your stamp on it and try to find high-quality kids that want to come to a school like Simpson.
You mentioned some of those things that I, you know, mostly what we're talking about during a game. What, when you go watch a young recruit practice, what do you, and he may or may not know you're there, I guess, watching him, what are you looking for when you watch a young man practice?
You know, there's so much you can just learn by watching him and his teammates and how they interact with each other. Steve Nash, if you ever want to watch a fun thing, how many times he touches his players and communicates through touch, and is he encouraging, and is it fake? I mean, it doesn't take long to see the true nature of an athlete. And, you know, first 10 minutes, it's the honeymoon period, and pretty soon you're seeing the true nature. And that's what you need to see, and that's why you need to get out and watch multiple games, different scenarios. You know, do they well? Do they do good against pressure? Do they not? I mean, anyone can shoot it, you know, when they're left open. What if they can't get open? All those little things. But probably the biggest thing is, do they compete? Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds crazy because it looks like everyone's playing hard, but when you watch away from the ball, does the kid stand up? Is he not paying attention to being in help or in the gaps? And does he actually understand the game? Everyone plays, but not everyone is a player. And that's what you have to evaluate, because, you know, then you look at different stats-wise and who's doing the stats. And did he score a lot of points because he's at the end of the game? Did, you know, was it during crunch time? So all those things are just things that you have to put to the eye test.
I can remember, and I'm outing myself here, but back I was an assistant sports information director at Georgia State back in the early 80s, and I was doing games on the radio too. And I can remember we had gotten an initiative to keep an eye that I think it was 2 out of every 3 field goals should have an assist to it. And boy, we had a lot of assists. And, that's not always good. Now, I guess at least with the computers and the video, you can tell if somebody's padding those kind of stats.
Yeah, and you find out if mom's doing the books. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that you got to make sure. You know, when you recruit a kid, we want to recruit a freshman for 4 years.
Yeah.
There's a couple of kids in Reading that we'd love to have stay local and stay at home. And so I get to watch them probably 8 to 10 times a year. So that's also a huge advantage, too, is getting into local gyms and seeing kids play right at home.
Now, this is NCAA early signing period. How does that affect what you're looking at as an NAIA coach?
You know, you have to know who you are, and we, you know, we'll look at a kid and we'll try to evaluate, is this kid going Division I? Is he a qualifier? And is he from California? Can he get some government aid that would help with tuition? And then we get to put some athletic scholarship on it. So there's a lot of those things, you know, and you ask coaches. As a high school coach, I had no problem with the coach saying, hey, who's recruiting this kid? Because, you know, if someone that's way above you is recruiting him, you know you're not going to spend the same amount of money and time recruiting him. We've got a young man down Central California that we really like. And, you know, you can be on him for a long time, and suddenly a low D1 comes swooping in, and that's the magic thing that a lot of parents want to hear right now, is my son went D1. They love to say that. And, you know, obviously you want your kid to go to the highest level possible, but we're looking for kids that for the right fit for the university, whether it's Division 1, 2, 3, NAIA, JUCO. You know, I think I really try to encourage parents to find the right fit. And can your son go there and play? Because 20 minutes after he signs, you know, most people don't remember or really care. So find a university that you want to go to and, you know, that your family can go watch you play. And so that's a lot of stuff that we try to look at and promote when we are telling people about Simpson.
And one thing that's nice, I know Simpson has tried to, you know, really step up and be competitive with the information as well. You have the live streaming capability that a lot of, you know, kids can have their families watch the games on the Internet.
Absolutely. We've been so blessed here since I came to Simpson. We had a new president, Dr. Norm Hall. He is a huge advocate of ours, wants us to do it the right way, but also wants to promote the university through athletics, which we absolutely love. But there comes a responsibility in that, too, is finding the right kids. And he's doing a tremendous job on the academic side, as well as, you know, bringing in new majors that people want to go to. You know, we obviously have a great nursing program, but, you know, we also added kinesiology this year. There's rumors of engineering coming real soon. So, I mean, Simpson's on the rise, and it's just a fun place to go every single day.
Talking basketball, the guys are off. I'm sure some of those kids can't just scramble and go home. If you're from Turkey or Greece or Slovakia, what are those kids doing during the break?
Hey, a lot of those kids are on that 24-hour flight right now. And, I mean, we got kids going to Australia, England, and then some of the kids, obviously, you know, they go home with their roommates. We got kids going with Zach Burns in Nevada. We got kids going to L.A. with friends and family. And Dimitri from Greece, he's actually going back to Kansas City where he spent some time in high school. So, you know, they're all going somewhere. And, of course, the kids that don't go anywhere, you know, James and I, we wrap them in our families and they spend time with us.
I love it. So you're off until you do have one more game coming up after Christmas, right? So December 30th, West Coast Baptist.
Absolutely.
In Lancaster. I saw you play those guys. I mean, that's a program that's, you know, doesn't have some of the size and stuff that you have, but, boy, they don't stop playing. I sure noticed that when they were here.
No, they got some good kids and good coach, and you know what? We caught them on a night where they didn't shoot it as well as they normally do, so... You know, there's no games that aren't winnable in either direction. And, you know, we played our three Division I games early, Cal Poly, Sac State, and San Jose, and you learn so much about yourself. And we found out that you can't take a single playoff. And those are those learning moments that these kids really can look back on and say, wow, that's a tremendous experience.
All right, and then you have a home game before Cal Pac season begins. So January 1st, New Year's Day. Right, against Northwest Indian College at the Grant Center.
Yeah, my wife's real proud of me. I'm not sure how much I was paying attention when that came through. And I said, absolutely, let's play at 4 o'clock on New Year's Day. But, you know, it's scheduled, and it's going to be a great time. Obviously, the students won't be back at Simpson, and we've been so blessed. We've got a great pep club, and they weren't the other night because school was out. But, you know, starting, if you don't get there early, you might not get the seat that you used to have. And it's just a great environment and a fun time.
All right, and then Cal Pac season begins January 4th, and hopefully we can get you back on sometime during that stretch. But, you know, what happens, what do you need to do between now and the start of conference play? Because from that point on, there's nothing but conference games, and, you know, you'll also have basically, you know, a week and a half where kids aren't playing basketball, so you got to get them back to full speed in a hurry before that all starts January 4th.
Absolutely. And, you know, the neat thing with technology now is, you know, we've got apps where we send them stuff almost every other day on teams. So they'll be getting, you know, plays, information, rosters, pictures of our opponent on their phone. So they're keeping in touch. They have to know who they're going to guard. There's also a quiz that we give them. They've got to know who the best shooter is, who not to foul on the free throw at the end of the game, you know, who's a double-double guy. There's a lot of information that we quiz them on to make sure they are staying in tune when they're gone, and that's an amazing thing of technology. But it's just, you know, some personal responsibility, too. They know they got one day off, and they need to go find a gym and get some shots up and stay in shape. It's so easy to get out of shape. As I look at myself, I'm in that category myself.
Well, we're not going there tonight, Coach. You got some basketball to see tonight. Todd Franklin, Simpson University. It is a real treat. It's been a real treat to see you, you know, really building this program, and I wish you and your family the best Christmas break and get home safely, and we'll talk to you after the first of the year.
Thank you, my friend. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Thank you. Coach Todd Franklin, Simpson University. I'm Brent Weber. You can always go to the archives, kcnr1460.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.